And that jarring cacophony tells you you're back listening to the Power of Three podcast, the Scottish Doctor Who podcast that likes to talk about things in threes, or at least we used to until about episode 32 or something like that. Anyway, it doesn't matter. We talk about things that are Doctor Who related. There's two of us here today, and that's all right, because I was never any good with maths until it came to doing my expenses and multiplying things by 0.45 to get the mileage rate in my previous job. This does not matter. You're not here to hear about my expenses. I'm not like an MP with great expenses. I'm Kenny Smith. I'm a former journalist. I now work for NHS Scotland as a communications officer. And I'm here today with another co-conspirator who will say hello, but he'll say a lot more than that as well.
Hello, but a lot more than that as well. Thanks for the introduction, Kenny. Hi, everybody. It's Stevie here. Stephen Day, my official professional name, but everyone calls me Stevie. Do I have to tell people what I do? I work in IT. It's a lot more exciting than it sounds. No, it's not.
You said it sounds like IT sounds.
Very good. I should just really pick you up. You were doing all your numbers there, but you said 32, not 33. You missed out the MP3 obvious link there, Kenny. You're not good with the threes, are you?
No. Oh, well. No, that's another story entirely. We will move away from that. Oh, we shall move away from that. Dave would be appalled if you could hear me say that. Yes, we're here to chat about some new Doctor Who news. Then again, if it wasn't new news, it would be olds.
It wouldn't be news.
No, definitely not. Yes, we're going to chat about the news that was released on the 12th of April, which is that Varada Sethu will join the 15th Doctor and Ruby Sunday in the second season of Doctor Who, which will air in 2025. Shall I tell you what the rest of this BBC news announcement had to say, Stevie?
Oh, please, Kenny, tell me what the rest of this BBC news announcement had to say.
Like many Doctors who have come before him, one is not enough for the 15th Doctor, and in season two, he will have two companions by his side as Varada Sethu steps aboard the TARDIS. Varada joins the Hooniverse from a galaxy far, far away after starring in the Disney Plus Star Wars series Andor, which we'll come back to shortly. Now, she straps in for another journey through time and space alongside Chuti Gatwa as the 15th Doctor and Millie Gibson as Ruby Sunday. Sethu says, "I feel like the luckiest person in the world. It is such an honour to be part of the Hooniverse, and I'm so grateful to the whole Doctor Who family, because that is what they are, for welcoming me with open arms and making me feel so at home. I couldn't ask for a better team than Chuti and Millie to be on this adventure with. This is so much fun." Showrunner, exec producer and writer Russell T Davis says, "I first worked with Varada on the BBC production of A Midsummer Night's Dream, and it's a joy to welcome her on board the TARDIS. Right now in the studio shooting for 25, we've got Chuti, Millie and Varada fighting side by side. We need all three because the stakes are higher than ever." Sethu is best known for her standout role as Cinta Katz in the Disney Plus original series Andor. Her additional credits include Jurassic World Dominion, Annika and Strike Back. And then there's some more generic stuff. So Stevie, obviously we've chatted off mic in the past about Andor, so this is an actress who is familiar to you with her work on that.
Yeah, I'm struggling to place the character just from the photos. I should have looked that up, but Andor, interesting program. Nobody did a bad job on that program at all. I just didn't find it, you know, part of the wonderful Star Wars that I knew, which is parts 4, 5 and 6 and then stop. But she did a cracking job, so I think it's interesting to see what she brings to the role. Acting is acting. You're going to get a completely different character. And it's interesting we didn't get a name, a character name for her. But I suppose that's a guarded secret. And also, I can't believe we're talking about 2025.
I know.
But I first came across her, I think, in Hard Sun. Do you remember Hard Sun?
I don't. Tell me. Tell me more.
Hard Sun was a BBC sort of apocalyptic. What's the word?
Apocalyptic.
That's even better. Spoilers here. If you haven't watched Hard Sun, don't listen to what I say. But basically, it's a sort of a crime series, a police series, you think. But the main thing is the world's coming to an end and all the authorities are trying to keep it quiet. Something horrible is going to happen to the sun. Only got one series. But a great dystopian, I think maybe we're looking for as well. A great series to watch. And she was a character in there, and I remember her. And good actress. So high hopes.
I did see A Midsummer Night's Dream, but I just genuinely don't remember her being in it. But
no, she was Peace Blossom.
Oh.
She was really good. I thought that, I mean, you could do an entire podcast on that. I thought that was an excellent production. I watched it because it was Russell T. Davis.
Mm-hmm. Same.
But it seemed to be Russell T. Davis plus quite a lot of Doctor Who.
Yeah, because it was Matt Lucas was in there.
Yeah, but even the team that was producing it.
Yeah.
But I thought, you know, I'm a fan of Midsummer Night's Dream, and that was a cracking production. And having just watched a kid's version of it, which I think my daughter was in, I remembered the character Peace Blossom, and yeah, no, she was brilliant. She was absolutely brilliant.
That's good to know. Also, Stevie, tell us another completely useless fact about Andor in terms of one particular location.
One particular location?
Mm-hmm. The one that's near Cruachan.
Yeah, as the crow flies is probably about, I don't know, 10 miles away from me. It's that hydro dam that provides lots of Scotland's emergency electricity when you're going to add brakes and boil in the kettle. It's a spin-up in something like 2 minutes from cold to producing lots and lots and lots of power. And then once that's over, it reverses, pumps it all back up, and waits for the next advert break. And it was a rebel. No, it wasn't a rebel base. It was an imperial base where they stored all their pay gold, because obviously they didn't have digital currency. And that's only one small plot point in Andor.
Yeah. But it looked great when the TIE fighters flew over it.
It looked brilliant. However, I did it first. Okay. I did it first with Land Rovers in an amazing a plug for everyone. I want you to stop the podcast now. Kenny's going to put a link up for you. We'll find the link. And I want you to go and watch The Musical Mountaineer. Where one of my pals sang for the Open Mountain Rescue charity, Bright Eyes, in an effort to raise money. Anyway, I have Land Rovers with bunnies in them flying over Cruachan Dam. I would like your feedback on that once you've seen it. And I apologise if you don't want to watch anything else after that, after you've clawed your eyes out.
Oh my word. So, Doctor and two companions, Stevie, how does this work for you? Do you prefer one and one, or do you prefer one and two, or even one and three, which of course we had throughout most of Jodie's tenure?
Yeah, tricky one that. Of course, Doctor Who from the beginning had more than one companion. I forget when we went to one companion, it was probably in the
Dodo.
The first.
Yeah, pretty much the first sort of full story with.
And then, of course, the memorable ones for me are Leela and Sarah Jane.
Mm-hmm.
And it works fine with one. But I also enjoyed the teams. So Tegan, Adric, and Nyssa, and others that came. But that's a difficult write, to find something for everyone to do.
Yeah.
So you've got to have your A and B stories, which is either a doctor and a companion and the others are going to do something else, or you've got to have your A, B and C stories, or your A, B, C and D's. So I think the more companions you have, the more complicated it can get. It depends what you do. If you Do you know what I mean by a bottle episode?
Yes.
So if you're doing a bottle episode and everyone's trapped together sort of in a confined space, whether that's the TARDIS or a sea base or so on, it's easier to do with multiple people. It's harder when you've got them scattered amongst a planet or a big ship or something like that.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot to be said for multi-companions, but I don't know, it depends what they're doing. Do you get the depth, or do you spread things out a bit? I've just rewatched The Giggle, for example, very recently, and really enjoyed it. But of course, we were enjoying the David and Donna stuff, and that became David, Donna, Mel, Kate, and everyone else in that. And it's great, but can you sustain that over a large number of episodes, or even a small number of episodes? That would be my thing.
Yeah.
I suppose it depends really what they do, how they interact. I'm looking at the lovely publicity photo where you've got the three of them laughing and giggling.
Yeah.
But maybe that's not what the characters are doing. Maybe the girls hate each other. Maybe the Doctor doesn't like either of them at some point. Who knows? And that's where you get the spin.
Yeah. Because it's interesting just when you mention the two of them there, because, you know, based on previous newspaper speculation that Millie will be more of a recurring character rather than a regular in the series, in the way that Mickey perhaps was in series one, and Jack fleetingly popping in and out of the show and so on. So it's hard to tell because we know nothing at the moment, but it's, I would imagine that given that we've seen an awful lot of, you know, photos being taken on location, there's been no sign of Millie. She was off in Brazil and South America and having a holiday in the early part of the year while the others were carrying on filming. So I would imagine that she's a semi-regular, but not quite as prominent as she will be throughout series 1 stroke series 14, whatever you want to call it.
And you know, that's going to be fine given circumstances we suspect or know about it. I go back to probably Doctor Who magazine or The Making of Doctor Who, the famous book. You know, what classifies as a companion? Because at some point a companion had to travel, what was it, in the TARDIS with the Doctor for at least one or two adventures, and that classed them as a companion.
Yep.
And of course Millie will have done that, but you know, but we have such a wide variety of supporting actors, shall we say. You know, would you class Kate as a companion? I wouldn't, as much as I wouldn't class the Brigadier as a companion.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're also into lots of territory as, you know, you have a companion that's established, but then, like, Martha pops into a few episodes in the following series after she's left. Is she still a companion? She was a companion. She worked fine in those episodes.
Torchwood too.
And Torchwood as well, and she was great in Torchwood. Had Torchwood continued, it would have been interesting to see where they'd taken that. Possibly even slightly darker, given Owen and Tashika, and then what happened in Children of Earth. But maybe they didn't want to go down that route, because they'd already established her end, hadn't they?
Yeah, because the rumour I'd heard was that the character that's played by Kush Jumbo was originally, that part was going to be done by Martha, but then she got herself the job in Law & Order UK, and that was a, you know, longer contract, and so she went off to do that rather than five episodes of Torchwood. So, so Chris Chibnall pinched her from Russell T. Davis on that occasion.
Bad Mr. Chibs. But it probably worked out better for Freema for doing that, because it allowed her to go off and do other things.
Yeah, because her career's been stellar since leaving the show.
Yes, absolutely. And I don't think that had she been in Children of Earth, that would have been so acceptable to fans, to be honest with you. I was just thinking about that the other day, and how impactful that program was. And how disturbing it is.
Completely, especially the conclusion to episode 5. No spoilers, kids.
No spoilers, and the conclusion to episode 4.
Yes,
with the death of somebody very close to Jack. That,
yeah.
Oh, you weren't expecting that, and I don't think they could have done that with Freema.
No, I don't think so. I think you're absolutely right. I mean, but just, I was thinking, I mean, for me, I quite like one doctor, one companion. That's sort of, that's the setup that, I mean, obviously I grew up with the 80s companion. So you're pretty much starting with Romana and K-9. Then, as you said, Nyssa Teagan and Adric. And then, but then again, I really like season 21, that Teagan-Turlough combo.
Yes.
So I think that one or two companions is a good mix, particularly if they're contrasting characters like that.
I think if they've got something to do, it's fine. So Teagan and Turlough bounced off each other a wee bit. But Teagan, Turlough and Nyssa, there wasn't enough, or that there wasn't such a good bond. And I think that's something that we have to watch for in this one. How do they bounce off each other?
Yeah.
You know, do we find thinking, sometimes you sit and watch some programs and think, I wonder why they're there. Mm-hmm. Well, that's because they're contracted. It's not a good, that's not a good reason. I give you Next Generation. You know, they contracted these, six, seven people to be there. But sometimes you didn't need them.
Yeah.
But they still had to be there.
And hence the likes of O'Brien and Worf went off to DS9.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. But then, you know, you get a better character of O'Brien on DS9.
Yep.
And, you know, I suppose take it back to Mickey. He was a bit piece at the beginning, but he came an integral part of the show and someone you were, even if you don't count him as a companion.
Regular, yeah.
Yeah, a regular. And you know, it's the Hooniverse, isn't it? You can bring people back as and when you want to. And I think the rules have to be broken. I think you've got to mix it up, a bit like Buffy and the Scooby Gang.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to take chances.
Yeah, although I still think... Oh, Faith. Faith of Vampires, there would have been such a good series.
It would have
been a spin-off that never was.
It would have been a different series, Kenny, and that's maybe a slightly darker one we don't want to discuss right now.
Oh. Why is it you guys always kill my great ideas for conversations?
It's because we want to stay on air.
Okay. All right, we'll go with that then. Anyway.
So, we've discussed those two main characters coming in, but you've got Mel coming in as well.
Yes.
So, I very much class her as a companion. You know, are we chucking out these two for an episode and we've just got Mel? And something else I noticed on the giggle, and you probably know it, everyone will know this apart from me, but I listened a bit more when I was watching it, and you've got Neil Patrick Harris, you know, looking at each individual and saying, oh, it's the this, it's the that, and he points to Mel, oh, and the orphan. Did you get that?
I completely forgot about that. I thought it was just in terms of because her parents were dead by that point. And
but I think that's a possible push to a story.
Oh, I hadn't picked up on that. That's a good spot.
This is my third giggle, or if not my fourth giggle, and I only picked, thank you, and I only picked up on that. So, yeah, I thought that's worth doing. But there's another companion to lay in. Do we have the three of them? And, of course, we've seen video photos of Rose Noble.
Yes,
so there's another companion to fit in. So, I came to a nice total of four companions to sort out over the next wee while. Now, we haven't even seen 2024 yet, and we're talking about 2025. No doubt soon we'll be talking about 2026. But, yeah.
That is a good thought. I hadn't considered that. I mean, we know we'll see Shooty and Mel on a motorbike, in which Dave has previously suggested that there should be a reference to Delta and the Banner in there, which of course there should be, which is absolutely right. I just look forward to it all. It's not long away.
It's not long away, and it's always nice to have new companions. I think you've also got to remember, Russell is an expert at this media stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Putting stuff out, not putting stuff out, and I'm sorry, don't want to get sued, sometimes Russell doesn't tell us the truth, and that's what I like as well. So he's winding everyone in, he's causing controversy with this, that and the other, and then bam, before you know it, you've got something else in there, whether it's another companion, a change in a Dalek, or this or that or the other. And that's the other thing we've got to remember. We have, how much of the fact, what percentage are we going to say? 40%, 50%, 20%, 10%?
Good point. Very good point. I will, somebody should work it out, sort of like when Russell says things, how many fibs he's told, because obviously Stephen has been fibbing through his back teeth for a long time about, oh no, I'm not doing it, I've moved on. No, well, you haven't.
I remember when the revival was coming on and Russell said, yes, we're having all new monsters. We're not going to have any old monsters. Nope, there's not going to be any Daleks. And he went through, we're not having any Daleks, we're not having any this, we're not having any that. And then one day on the, I forget what they called it, because they put out the photo of the week, do you remember? A bit of the set. It was the back, they had a good name for it, a background thing they put out.
Yes, I know the thing you mean. It was like,
and there was something little and gold and a little humpy. And you thought, ooh, wonder.
Great. Stevie, thank you for that. Thank you for joining us for having a wee chat. Of course, remember, listeners, you can follow us on the internet. You can join our Facebook group. You can find us on Twitter at Power of 3 Pod. And you can also follow Stevie individually.
Ooh, yes, you can. Twitter, X, formerly known as whatever, Stargate 42 Films.
And you can follow me on at Finished Zine, FinishedZine, or of course if you're in the States it's a Zine, just to translate for you, because I know it's a very difficult accent to translate, the Scottish one. So yes, all adds up to intrigue.
Yes, tell me, Kenny, talking of intrigue, because it's something on our viewers' minds the moment we start. You know, you play that intro music, but the big question on everyone's lips is, how is this going to end? Not in terms of when is it going to end, I'm sure that's there as well, but how is it going to end? What is Kenny going to play out on this week? Kenny, what are you going to play out on this week?
Well, Stevie, I'm glad you asked me that, because this had crossed my mind, because I thought, well, we've got Shudigatwa. He's also there with Millie Gibson, and now we've got Varadisidu, so that makes three of them. And of course, we all know that three is the magic number, so I was thinking a little bit of De La Soul and the magic number.
He's good, isn't he, viewers? We should just clap and say, well done, Kenny. Well done. Well done, Kenny.
Thanks, audience. We'll be back next time. Take care, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
3, that's a magic number. Yes, it is. It's the magic number. Somewhere in this hip-hop soul community was born 3 mates, love and me, and that's a magic number.
What does it all mean?
Difficult preaching is posthumous pleasure. Pleasure in preaching starts in the heart. Something that stimulates the music in a measure. Measure in the music breaks in 3 parts. Casually see but don't do like the soul, cause seeing and doing are actions for monkeys. Doing hip hop hustle, no rock and roll, unless your name's Brewster, cause Brewster's a punky. Parents let go cause it's magic in the air. Criticizing rap shows you're out of order. Stop looking, listen to the phrasing Fred Astaire's, and don't get offended while Mace Do-Si-Do's your daughter. A tri-camera roll system is now set. Fly around the store under Daisy Productions. It stands for the inner sound. All in your Quebec, that the action's not a trick, but show enough for function. Everybody wants to be a DJ, everybody wants to be an MC, but being speakers are the best, and you don't have to guess. De La Soul Posse consists of 3, and that's the magic number. 3. This here piece of the pie is not dessert, but the cost that we